Okay.
First, I would like to welcome an honored guest, one of the premier Rabbonim, and for what I understood, Mayalim in South Africa. So schus and a great privilege to be able to have two outstanding Rabbonim from Johannesburg, from South Africa, and it's very much appreciated. Makir tov to not just the two wonderful Rabbonim, but to all of you for coming on board. The shiur is dedicated tonight, Le'ilu Nishmas, Hagoyin Rav Yehuda Kelema, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away a little over a week ago. He was a Rav, initially in Young Israel of Brookline in Massachusetts, one of the states in the United States, and then subsequently for close to 40 years in Young Israel of West Hempstead. I had a connection with him in the course of many years, and he was, besides being a Baal Kishra and Mufla and a walking encyclopedia of Kol HaTorah Kula, and I'm not exaggerating, Ani Lo Magzim, he learned B'Chavrusa at the age of 15 years old with the Tells of Rosh Hashiva, Hagoyin the Mordechai Gifta Zatzal, and later, a number of years later, in the Mir Yeshiva with Hagoyin of Chaim Shulevitz and Hagoyin of Machan Persovitz, Zeche Tzadikim Livracha. But primarily and preeminently, he was a Rav at the Levaya. Many said that he was a Malach Hashem Tzvokos. His connection with Klal Yisrael, with every single Yochid, was absolutely sui generis. It was so extraordinary and so unusual. Chesed behispashtus, that was the very essence of his entire personality. And there was such a sweetness and such a tznius about him. Es tznuim chochma, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei. And certainly that tznius and that incredible chesed led to a personality that was one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, probably not just in America, but in the entire world. People asked him, Shailas and Eitzes, and everything he did was Shayef Ayel v'Shayef Nofik, v'Lei Machzik Tivusel D'Nafshe. So the shiur is dedicated to this outstanding model of a Rav, who was a remarkable human being, and his loss is not just a loss for his congregants, for the Balabatim that numbered in the thousands, but for all of Klal Yisrael. Yehi Zichro Baruch. You have in front of you, in the two sets of Maror Mekomos that were sent out, essentially a précis of the Ten Makos. On one page you have Dam Svadeh, Kinim, Orev, Dever, and Shrin. And the next page, the remaining Makos, Borod, Arab, Bechoshech, and Makos Bechoros. In the Parshas that we are presently reading in the Torah, we're ensconced in the drama of the Ten Makos, of the Eser Makos. The Rishonim and Achronim underscore the pageantry of the Makos and their impact as it emerges from an examination of the overall structure. And the structure of the Makos automatically draws us into its web of intrigue. And here you have in front of you some of the major aspects of the Eser Makos. And we know from the pithy statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Baal Haggadah already drew our attention to the tripartite nature of the Makos. Rabbi Yehuda haya neisim bahem simonim, Ditzach, Adash, Ba'achav. There are three sets of Makos. Each set encompasses three of the Makos, and Rishonim and Achronim spend enormous amount of time trying to find a pattern, as Rabbi Yehuda expressed it, in such a succinct fashion. What's the distinctive nature of each set, and what common denominators are there that Rabbi Yehuda employed this mnemonic device, which of course arouses our pique, our curiosity? Let's examine the Makos in broad strokes and derive some of those areas of commonality. Each of the Makos begins with a directive from Hashem Yisbarach to Moshe Rabbeinu, as you look on your sheet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Moshe is instructed to go to Paro and warn him of the impending Makah he's about to experience. However, when one examines carefully the terminology that the Torah employs, we notice a unique difference in both language and approach between the three Makos in each set. As I mentioned, there are three sets of makos. There are three makos in each set. And let us examine some of those elements, some of those components. In the first makah of each set, the language utilized by the Torah, I'm referring to Dam, which is the first makah of set number one. In set number two, the first makah is Orov. And in set number three, the first makah is Borod. So notice the approach of Moshe Rabbeinu in each of these makos. We have the language of Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and essentially we have a reverential approach taken by Moshe Rabbeinu, fully recognizing the aristocracy, the kingly, regal stature of Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Let's begin with Dam. Lech al Paro baboker, hine yotze hamaimo, v'nitzavto likroso al sfas hayor. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to greet Paro at the Nile. In the second set, the first makah orov, the Torah tells us, Hashkin baboker, v'siyatzev lifnei paro, hine yotze hamaimo. And in the third set, in the first makah, a similar language is employed, Hashkin baboker, v'siyatzev lifnei paro, in the makah of Borod. Rashi cites a Medrash Tanchuma and a Shmos Rabbah, Paro saw himself as a deity. That's the pasuk that well known in the Navi, Li Yaor Vani Asisini. And he attempted to project himself as someone who had no need to have any recourse to nature, and therefore he rose early to go down to the Nile. And that's why the terminology of the first makah of each set mirrors this. Moshe is to pay homage to Paro. He's obligated to meet him at the Nile, approach him as the emperor and king at the Nile, which of course is the symbol of the power of Egypt. Essentially, what Moshe is told to do, address yourself to the power-oriented, power-conscious Paro at the source of his power, which of course is the Nile. Rashi cites on the pasuk of V'yorodu kol avadecha, Eli v'shtachvu lilemor, the din of mikan shecholken kovu the malchus, the obligation to pay homage to the king. But Moshe is enjoined to lodge a protest before Paro, a veritable kind of warning, or if you will, a kind of hasra, which is endemic to all three sets of makos. And the language employed is almost a kind of refrain. In the context of Dam, as you can see on the page in front of you, the Amarte Elav Hashem Elokei Avim Shlachani Yelecha Lemor, Shalach Esami V'Yavduni Bamidbar. In the case of Orov, the Amarte Elav Ko Amar Hashem Shalach Ami V'Yavduni. In the case of Borod, again, the first makah of the third set, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei HaIvrim, Tel Paro Shalach Esami V'Yavduni. And this warning is essentially accompanied by stern language, if Paro maintains his intransigence. So the Torah tells us what the consequences will be. In the Makkah of Dam, the Pasuk says, Kovei le Paro me'ein lishalach ha'am. In the case of Orov, the Torah says, Ki yimencha mishalech esami. In the case of Borod, the language of the Torah is, Odecha mistolel bi'ami libilti shalcham. So this essentially is the common denominator of the first makos of each of the three sets. The second makah of each set is also accompanied by a hasra, by a warning. However, the language is much more succinct, considerably more terse. Moshe is not told Lech El Paro, but rather Bo El Paro. Take a look at Tzfardea, which is the second makah in the first set, the language of Bo El Paro. In the case of Deber, in the second set, the second makah, Bo El Paro. And the case of Arbe, the Torah describes, Bo El Paro ki ani hichbadati eslibo beslev avodov. Bo implies, or Bo actually has a connotation, a Moshe appearing before Paro, now if you will, as a private citizen, not at the banks of the Nile, but rather in the palace of Paro, at home, as an ordinary human being, as a father, Tell him how wrong it is to throw a child into the Nile. Tell him about Avraham Avinu, about morality, about ethics. Maybe he'll respond. The term bow is significant. And all the Mefarshim point this out. When we ask someone to come closer to us, we utilize the term bow. As in this country, boina. In contradistinction, the term lech means to go away, to distance yourself from. Of course, in either case, Moshe is assured that he's going to be accompanied by Hashem Yisbarach. When Moshe in Perek Gimel of Parshas Shmos is told by Hashem Yisbarach, V'yato lecho v'yeshlochacho el paro, v'otzeis ami b'nei yisom mimitzvoyim, of course, Moshe, as we know, remonstrates with Hashem. His response is, Mi anochi ki eilecha paro. And Hashem, in a quick rejoinder, notes, Vayomer ki yeye imoch. I'm going to accompany you. My Rebbe Yerav Soloveitchik Zatzal often commented that here there's a din of shlichus. Moshe Rabbeinu is the emissary of Hashem Yisbarach. And every shliach, all of us who are shluchim, shluchid rachmono, are accompanied by Siyata Dishvaya. Hashem Yisbarach accompanies us in what Rav Soloveitchik used to call doctrine assignment. Each one of us has a particular assignment that we have to carry out, a shlichus, and unquestionably, we have a livui of Hashem Yisbarach. Similarly, in Shmos, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chavalev, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Belechtecha Lashuv Mitzrayma, again, the Lashon of Lech, Rei Kol Amosim Asher Samti B'yadecha V'asisom Tnei Paro. In Perek Hei, the Torah uses the language of V'achar, Bo Moshe V'aron V'yomer El Paro, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shalach Esami. So either the language of Lech, or the language of bow presupposes the accompanying ubiquitous presence of Hashem Yisbarach. Moshe is the Shliach par excellence of the Almighty, and he's accompanied by the Ribbono Shalom b'chvedo v'atzmo. Here also, as in the first set of Makos, a sharp warning is administered. Tzvardeya, the second Makos of the first set. V'im ma'ein ato lishaleach, if you refuse. Dever, the second set, the second makom in the second set. Ki im ma'ein ato l'shaleach v'itcho machzik bo. And finally, in the third set, the second makom, arbe, a double lashon is used. An mosai me'anto le'anos miponoi. Ki im ma'ein ato l'shaleach esami. But it is preceded by an mosai me'anto le'anos miponoi. This already was noticed by many mefarshim, and we'll comment a bit later, a comment of the Brisker of Zechatzag Divrocha on this double language. Let's now turn to the third makah of each set. Kinim, lice, shchin, lesions, boils, and finally a makah choshech. So notice there's neither the language of lech, nor is there the language of bow. There's no communication, no dialogue with Paro. The makah is implemented without any fanfare, without any preceding ceremony. Kinin, emor el aron neteyes matcha. Carry out the makah. Shchin, tichu lachem melo chavneichem piach kivshon uzrako Moshe ha-shamayma. Choshech, netey yodcha la-shamayim vihi choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim. The pattern seems to be quite clear. The obvious question is, why was there a necessity for three sets of makos? Again, the self-evident answer is provided by the text of the Torah. Hashem could have, with dispatch, expedited the entire process of makos, either with one fell swoop, or simply proceed to makos bechoros, which contain a quintessence of all the makos. In the language of the pasuk, Hineni sholech es kol magifosai eli becha, which Rashi comments and Chazal note refers essentially to the makah, which of course was the makah, makas becharas. However, Hashem Yisbarach, the way the Ramban and many Rishonim and Achronim have accentuated, there were three distinct messages that had to be conveyed to Paro. And this, I believe, is also inherent in Rabbi Yehuda's pithy division of Ditzach, Adash, V'Achav. Again, this is a yisod that's mentioned by many. The Ramban relates to it. Rabbi Nebuchai relates to it. And Achronim as well, the Malbin, many other Dovya Meforshim address this as well. The Ramban identifies three didactic lessons that had to be conveyed. One, the existence of Hashem. Two, the omnipotence of Hashem as Kol Yochol. And three, the Hashkoch of Hashem Yisbarach, the divine providence. The first three makos were aimed at affirming the existence of Hashem. Hashem directed his sting at the Nile. That was the object of their veneration, as we say in the davening, Uvelo heihem osa Hashem shvotim. Ko ma Hashem, bezos teida ki ani Hashem. And we know from the Tzvardim, they were Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, the Gemara Msochim, and the Gimel of Avei's notes, the Hanani Meshov Azariah derived the Kavuchim from the Tzvardim. And finally, with the Chatum Mitzrayim being stymied by their inability to simulate the third Makkah, the Makkah of Kinim, and they responded, Etzba Elokimhi, in the second set of Makkos, which is Adash, Ayin, Dalet, Shin, Orov, Dever, and Shin, the unique divine guardianship or sense of Hashkocha vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael is patently obvious. The plague of Orov, where you have wild animals that are running amok, doesn't impact at all Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "V'hiflasi b'yom ahu es eretz Goshen, asher ani omed alecha, l'vilti heyosham Orov, l'man teida, ki ani Hashem mekarev aretz." Vis-a-vis Dever, we also have a similar phenomena. We're talking about a pestilence that does not affect Jewish cattle. As the pasuk says, "V'hiflo Hashem bein miknei Yisrael levein miknei Mitzrayim, v'lo yomus mikol Yisrael davar." Indeed, Shchin is, of course, the quintessence of an infectious kind of makkah, described as avach poreach b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And yet we witness a clear wedge that's been driven between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. As the pasuk says, "V'lo yochalu achartumim la'amud b'nei Moshe b'nei Hashin ki ayo Hashin b'chartumim u'v'chol Mitzrayim." The lines of demarcation were clearly drawn. They were humiliated. They were embarrassed to appear in the presence of Moshe. They more or less incarcerated themselves in their own homes. The third set of makkah, says the Ramban, was designed to underscore the omnipotence of Hashem Yisbarach. Barod, the Torah describes it. Again, I'm just following the sheet in front of me. Kaved ma'od. An unparalleled event in the historical annals of Egypt. Arbe, locusts, the Torah testifies, Kaved Meod, Lifanov lo hayachin arbe kamo, v'acharov lo yiachin. Unprecedented in the annals of history. And it was followed by a cheshech, which Chazal described as kofu lo mechupo, a cheshech that was literally palpable, that one could feel, that one could sense. It was impervious to light and the use of torches. It was a heavy, cumbersome, tactile kind of choshech that extinguished any light in its path. And the pinnacle of Hashem's omnipotence was clearly reflected in the Makas Becheres, which was a pinpointed, surgical kind of strike directed at all firstborn. The Rishonim bring a proof from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin on Pei Aleph of Beis that the third Makkah beat said did not require a Hasra, because the Mishnah says, Misha Loka Bishona Bezdin Machnisim Oso Lekipa. A person who was subject to Malkus and then became a recidivist, so Bezdin places him into a kippah. He acquires a cheskas rasha as a result of his behavior. The Ramban, in his very penetrating reading of the text of the Torah, suggests another very creative and incisive insight into the pattern of the first three makos that I believe can be extrapolated again to all three sets of makos. The Ramban notes that the first two makos of the first set, namely Dam and Sradeah, blood in frogs was simulated by the Chatumi Mitzrayim, by the Egyptian magicians, because they didn't involve, says the Ramban, any creation. There was no creative activity involved in those makos. The text, however, vis-a-vis the third makah of that set, Kinem, utilizes the language of V'hoya L'kinem B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. The Lashon of V'hoya, says the Ramban, echoes V'yehi Chein of Maisa Bereshis. And as an act of Yesh Me'ayim, ex nihilo, to produce lice from Ofar is unnatural, is miraculous, is supernatural. Similarly, in the same vein, in the second set of makos, the terminology of the third makos, that said, Shchin, again, reflects the miraculous gesture of Hashem Yisbarach. Again, the pasuk says, V'hoya le'avak al kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Soot from the furnace, flung into the heavens, that spawns into lesions and boils all over Egypt. But finally, in the third set of makos, the finale, achieved with Choshech, also is concretized with a similar language. V'hi Choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim v'yomesh Choshech. The same verb utilized three times. The Ramban contends that this Choshech was a Briah Chadasha, a new creation. In general, there's a lot of discussion among the Parshoni HaMikra whether Choshech is a new creation or Choshech is simply a state where there's an absence of light. The proof generally cited is from the pasuk that we are very familiar with, Yotzer Or Uvari Choshech, which indicates that Choshech clearly is a Bria. But this is the subject of a lot of discussion. Again, we have witness to a pattern to the three sets of makos. The Ramban then proceeds to postulate why only the first two makos of each set presuppose or warrant a hasra, a warning. And the Ramban theorizes that the first two makos of each set, namely, Dam and Sradeya, namely, Or of Endeavor, namely, Boren and Arbe, had the potential ability either to kill or to destroy. And therefore, hasra is critical. Power had to be forewarned. My father was showing me to use the expression, forewarned is forearmed. Impending imminent disaster. Kinim, Shchin, and Choshech were undoubtedly uncomfortable. They were unsightly. They were unpleasant, but didn't carry such a fatal threat in its wake, and therefore no hasra was necessary. That's the mashmos of the Ramban. In light of the aforementioned analysis, there's room to suggest, lefi ani hasdaiti, a fundamental idea regarding the warnings given to Paro in particular, and an approach regarding hasra in general. Hasra is given because of the Talmudic dictin, Ein Einshin Elam Kein Mazhirit. You can't punish someone without prior warning. Chazal tell us a human being is given Bechira Chavshis. All of us have free will. And because of that, Kol HaRoitza Litois Yavo V'Yiteh. Whoever wants to be led astray can be led astray, but he's going to be held accountable for his actions because it's freedom of choice. However, he has to be apprised of the consequences. He has to be aware. He has to be cognizant of the choices that confront him. A cursory examination of the first two makos of each set reveals to us that inherently they were plagues. They were makos that were basically in sync with natural phenomena. I have some difficulty with dam, but even dam, the Ramban claims, is inherent in the nature of water. But certainly the other makos, we could have an easier time. Frogs alighting from the water, very much a natural phenomena. Maybe once or twice in my life, we decided to camp out. It's not exactly my style. And we found ourselves the entire night surrounded by croaking frogs. A natural phenomena, not something that's unusual. Or of Endeavor, the first two makas of the second set are clearly in tandem with nature. When the gates of the zoo are flung open wide, wild animals will begin to rampage and wander about aimlessly, bringing havoc and disease in their wake. Boron and Arbe, hailstorms and locusts are phenomena confronted by farmers from time immemorial. And therefore, all these six makos, the first two makas of every set could easily be misconstrued and misinterpreted by Paro and his cohorts. It could be understood to be natural phenomena, handiwork of nature. It would not be difficult for them to fail to see the Yad Hashem, the guiding hand of Hashem in these makos. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was constrained to issue a hasra. Ein einshin, elum ken mazirin. The warning prior to the advent of the maka, unequivocally saying to Paro, even though you may, in all likelihood, ascribe this phenomena to natural causes, I want you to know beforehand, the Yad Hashem is written here. Shalach ami v'yabduni. And therefore, prior to these makos, the first two makos of each set, Moshe Rabbeinu appears and Paro is told, don't misunderstand, don't misconstrue the phenomena that are about to unfold in front of you. Even though your sorcerers might simulate the mako, and even though they appear to be in sync with nature, it's Yad Hashem. It's the handiwork of Hashem Yisbarach. That applies to Dam, with the difficulty that I mentioned earlier, certainly to Tzvadeya, to Orov, to Dever, to Borod, to Arbe. However, vis-a-vis the third Makkah of each set, namely, Kinin, Shchin, and Choshech, it was crystal clear that these Makkahs were supernatural events. They cannot possibly be interpreted, and therefore there's no necessity for a Makkah to be preceded by Hasra or a warning. This to me is Milta de Pshita. So what indeed is the function of Hasra? Essentially, Hasra is the fulfillment of a mitzvah in the Torah. Torah says, Hocheach tochiach esam yisecha. The Gemara says in Erchin, it's extremely difficult to fulfill the mitzvah of Tochacha. Just as an editorial note, it's quite clear that unfortunately and tragically, we're in the throes of Corona, and Techacha, which is emerging from the greatest of the Gdol Yisrael, to a large extent, is falling ala Eitzim yala Avonim. Unfortunately and tragically. So nothing has changed. And the Gemara in Erchin addresses this issue and indicates to us that people don't like to accept Techacha. It's difficult both for the chastiser and for the recipient of the chastisement. No one enjoys being a recipient of Musar. One's initial reaction to Musar or Techacha, says the Gemara, is to immediately turn around to the Mochir and tell him, you're giving me Musar. Tul Kaitz ben Enecha. And what does he tell you? Tul Kisein ben Shinecha. Who are you to give me Musar? Are you so perfect that you're dishing it out? First, take a good look at yourself before trying to correct my wayward behavior, or in the language of Chazal, his kashu v'kashu, kashet atzmecha, v'achaga, kashet acheret. Last week, I encountered someone when I came back from shul on Shabbos. Don't worry, both chashu v'rabbanim in front of me. I know the situation over there in South Africa, and I am very sympathetic to what's happening. It resonates with me. We are very careful in Beis Tefillah, which I, Baruch Hashem, have the great schus of being the Rav. There are limited number of people in each capsule, not too many in shul on Shabbos or bichlal, and they are socially distant, wearing masks, doing that which has to be done. They follow the laws of the Misrad HaBriyut. So I met someone, and I was talking to him, and he was, I made myself distant from him because he was not exactly wearing a mask in the streets where I live. And I decided to just very politely and with all the sensitivity I could muster, indicate that to him. And then he asked me what the mocker for my statement is. I didn't say Misrad HaBriyut, but I told him, I mentioned names of two Gdolei Yisrael that I think are essentially revered by Kimat. Again, I stress the word Kimat, the entire Jewish world. And he indicated to me, no, this one, I'm not sure he's one of the Gdolei Yisrael. And the other one, I don't agree with him. So I was just completely stunned. I'm talking about the two of the greatest Gdolei Yisrael, that Bizmanenu Anu. I didn't know what to say, except to indicate to him that we do have medicine and science, and these Gdolei Yisrael, including many great Hasidic Admorim, have now taken the vaccine, which he indicated to me was unnecessary. I was not only stunned, I was in a state of apoplexy, but I realized there was not much I could do to give this individual any kind of direction. And I am considerably older than he is. He's a young man. He happens to be a very fine Talmud Chacham and a big Baal Kishrin. But sometimes in my briskest side gets a hold of me, and I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, I mentioned this a number of times. He said in his inimitable Yiddish, "In my Leben ich hab gesehen asach geinim. In my life I saw geinim, but ich hab gesehen apo was adish kin seichel. I saw a few that don't have basic seichel." Okay, I didn't tell that to him. Don't worry. Don't be chushing me. I felt bad. So Moshe Rabbeinu was, that's the end of the editorial comment. Moshe Rabbeinu was therefore facing a rather unenviable task and a daunting one to chastise Paro. Of course, it was a shlichus. It was a divine mission. How did he perform that Herculean task? So there's a lesson in Hilchos Teichacha that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Al tochach leletz pen yisna eka." Simple pshat, simple translation. A letz, who's a scorner, a scoffer, a cynical person, don't give tochacha to such an individual. It will not only fall on deaf ears, often it will be met with a barrage of cynicism and snide remarks that will dent any positive benefit of tochacha. Or in the language of Chazal, leitzon asachas doicha mea tochachas. An atmosphere of seriousness and earnest chastisement can only be undone, can easily be undone and neglected, and negated, rather, I'm sorry, by one or two biting and, I guess, sneering kind of comments. However, the pasuk says, "Hoychach lechacham yeavdeka." A wise person will welcome comments designed to enhance and improve his behavior and help him move forward spiritually. That's a simple shot of the text. But I saw, in the name of the Shlach Kodesh, he suggests a beautiful explanation which has profound psychological insight. If you approach an individual for the purpose of giving them tochacha and begin by heaping upon him epithets, "You're a letz, you're an idle, insolent, blankety-blank kind of person," and then you proceed to give that fellow tochacha, you're simply placing fuel on the fire. His reaction, in most cases, will be one of ferocity. He'll be furious. It may even be a reaction that will lead to venom and vitriol. Namely, this is a pshat in the pasuk. "Al toichach leletz." Don't give tochacha by saying, "You letz, ben yisna'eka." But if you approach a person from a standpoint of derech eretz, fundamental derech eretz, respect for his personal qualities and credentials, and you begin the dialogue by telling him, without sycophantic dressing, "You know, you're a smart fellow, you're a Baal Kishrim, you're clearly among the Bnei Aliyah, you have many beautiful, wonderful personal qualities, you're someone who's a role model for others, for Klal Yisrael. Indeed, you're a veritable Talmud Chacham. And for that reason, I'm approaching you with a particular issue. I only want to enhance your personality and help you in your upward spiritual odyssey." So by the way, this is how HaGoyim Rav Yehuda Kelemer Zatzal approach people. I saw it myself a number of times. If you approach a person, says the Shlach Kodesh, as a Chacham, "Heichach lechacham," using that stratagem, then in many cases, the likelihood of success is quite high. "Hochach lechacham v'yeaveka." It seems to me that was precisely the tack taken by Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis Paro. Initially, he goes to Paro at the Nile. "V'nitzavto likroso asfas ha'yor. V'yordu kol abadecha elai, mikan shechol can cover the malchus." Derech agav, the prime minister, the Rosh Memshala Netanyahu, was recently in our neighborhood. I only knew about it because members of my shul called me and asked me if I'm going to be there. I said that I could not be there for any number of reasons, primarily because of Corona, and secondarily because I was saying a shir at that time, and I thought Talmud Torah is even deicha mikan shechol can cover the malchus. But they also asked me, should they make a bracha? So I said, certainly he should. He's worthy of kavod. He's a Rosh Memshala who has taken on yeomen tasks in the course of many years, and certainly we owe him a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov. But I didn't think that a bracha b'shem malchus was necessarily in place. Again, another editorial comment, if I may. So Moshe Rabbeinu initially approaches Paro with all the cover that one can muster, all the courtesy, all the dignity that should be accorded to an aristocrat, to a king, to a melech, someone of his royal station. The second Asura, he said, is a bit more curt, as I mentioned, and to the point. But the overall approach is in the spirit of the Shlach Kodesh. Hoichach lechochem v'yeelveka. Undoubtedly, Paro was a chochem. To be Melech Mitzrayim is certainly a task that is quite challenging. It requires enormous amount of acumen. So I think this was the approach that the Torah is describing in the context of the each set of makos and the divisions that I spoke about earlier. There are some striking psychological lessons to be derived from the makos, and I would like to explore some of them. The psukim, the beginning of Parshas Bo, this week's Parsha, which is generally what I address on Thursday night. So, with reference to the Mako of Arbe, the Torah describes, Umalu vatecha, uvatecha lavadecha, uvatecha mitzrayim. They're literally going to be everywhere. Asher loro avosecha vavus avosecha miyom heyosam ala adama arayom azeh, vayifem vayitzei miyim paro. So the Ramban cites some Chazal. He quotes, V'divri avoseinu, ro'osam sheponim zelazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Egyptians turning one to the other, gesticulating, ma'aminim l'dvarav, that they believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So he went outside in order to give them the opportunity they could speak to each other privately and take counsel with each other and hopefully do tshuva. That's what the Ramban writes. And the Ramban continues and says, v'hanochem be'inai, ki chen ha yoseh v'choleis bo el paro, el heicholo, masre bo v'yotzei. This was the general practice of Moshe Rabbeinu. When he came to the palace of Paro, in the second Makavit said, he delivered the Hasra, and he departed, giving them time to ponder and to contemplate the possibility of doing tshuva. So prima facie, lich ora, the words of the Ramban are miraf senigra, incomprehensible. Because initially Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ani akshe eslei Paro, Paro is not going to respond affirmatively to you. Originally, Hashem Yisbarach had planned to subject Paro to 10 makos. And he indicated at the outset, Paro is not going to acquiesce. He won't respond affirmatively. Furthermore, the Torah in the beginning of Parshas Bo states unequivocally, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe Bo El Paro," says Rashi, to give him hasra. And the Torah continues, "Ki ani ichbarati es libo b'yeslev abov da leman shisi oso sai eleb b'kirbo uleman tesaper b'yozne binecho ven binecho es asher isadalti b'mitzrayim ves oso sai asher samti bom vidatem ki ani Hashem." Furthermore, the Daskenim Balei HaTesis in Parshas Bo writes, Moshe Rabbeinu was privy to all the makos that Hashem was going to hurl at Egypt. They were emblazoned, says the Daskenim, on the Mate Elokim, the Tzach Adash Bachad. And to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the Dvar Hashem. And certainly Moshe was aware that Paro was not going to do tshuva. So why does the Ramban suggest that Moshe sensed in the fact that his advisors, namely the advisors of Paro, were turning towards each other, that somehow, maybe there's some possibility of being Kohei Tshuva. The Ramban in the Parsha of Va'era notes that during the course of the first five Makos, Paro summarily rejected all the overtures of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's certainly borne out by the language of the text that we're all familiar with. Rashi himself indicates this, and Rashi quotes from Chazal, in the case of Tzfardeya, V'hachvedet libo. In the Kinem, Vayechzak Leib Paro. In Orov, Vayachbed Paro Ed Libo. In Deber, Vayichbad Leib Paro. In Shchin. Now we're already past the fifth Makkah. We're at the sixth Makkah. Vayichazek Hashem Ed Leib Paro. And so forth and so on. Barod, Arbe, Choshech. And the Ramban already comments on it. Essentially, the Ramban says that he retained his Bechira to do tshuva consciously. However, the hardening of his heart on the part of Hashem was designed to generate a contrite heart, not a function of the enormity of the makas themselves and the suffering, but rather a function of conscious tshuva, recognizing the greatness of Hashem. I mentioned already in a previous shiur from Gedolei HaRishonim, Kimat Rov HaRishonim understand that the idea of the makos was essentially to give Paro Bechira Chofshis. Otherwise, he would have no Bechira whatsoever. It's remarkable how a human being, because of his kavod being slighted or his wounded pride, is willing to continue to bear all the pain and suffering of the world, but not surrender that false sense of pride and vanity. We don't need too many hochochas and rayos. We could look at presidents of countries, or perhaps former presidents of countries, and heads of governments all over the world. Rabbeinu Bechaye, in a very beautiful comment in the Karakemach, he describes, in the first two makas of each set, he says the following. Why was the need for two warnings, as I discussed earlier? He was suffering from what the Rabban discusses in the Igeres HaKodesh, namely, one should strive for anova. That's the Yisayid HaYisaydes Amidus, humility. One should be humble. And what was Paro suffering? He didn't possess a Shminis Sheva Shminis, the way the Gemara in Seder describes the Gaiva, which is permissible for a Talmud Chacham. It was Me'ah Achuz Gaiva, 100%. And he goes on. He writes, Al Ya'oiroi Mima She'oma, the Paschim Yecheskel, Li Ya'oiri Vani Asisini, Nisgoa La Yicholo, Ba'yobo Al Beiso Velo Shos Libo Gam Lazos, Li Metcho HaKosov, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Ki Mitov She Nisgoa Nebuchadnezzar Al Yicholo. He quotes Pesukim in Daniel, "Kehoyam misgoya umale es atzmo mimadrego enoshit lemadrego lokit." He deified himself, similar to Paro. They saw themselves as deities. Vakodesh Baruch Hu ishpilam, Hashem lowered them from their lofty perch, mimadrego enoshit lemadrego behemit. And with reference to Nebuchadnezzar, "Hoya oichel ha'asovim ki behem Hashem hashonim." Is a Pesukim in Daniel and Divrei Chazal. Came Paro Harasha. It's astounding to what extent a human being can and will put on blinders, totally deny and obfuscate facts in order to maintain his wounded sense of pride because he can't acknowledge that he could be wrong. That's not possible. Even after Makas Choshech, he continues to wallow in his egoism. And with impudence, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech me'olai, hishoma lecha, ki biyom roscha panai tomus. The Rambam already in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam addresses this issue as well. Namely, in the language of the Rambam, v'loma hayosholeach lo biyad Moshe, why was Moshe sent on this mission? So the Rambam has a famous position, which is the subject of a major machlokes among the Rishonim, that if someone is wallowing chet, such as Paro Melech Mitzrayim, the Rambam gives a number of examples, that person will no longer be able to do tshuva. He is the cause, he is the one responsible for his downfall. How did the Rambam know that the hardening of Paro's heart constitutes the punishment? Maybe Paro himself, in his obstinacy, in his obduracy, was incredibly tenacious and refused to budge. And the answer is that Paro, in the face of so many harsh makos, one falling upon the heels of the other, would almost ipso facto surrender. And here, after having suffered seven makos, he remains as obstreperous as ever. And the answer can only be ascribed to Hashem Yisbarach's hardening his heart. But according to the Ramban, it was the midah of gaiva that Paro clung to tenaciously. And that midah had to be squelched, had to be eviscerated. That midah is the one that's mentioned, the Shir HaSayam, that we say every day. Paro and his forces were routed. Oshir al Hashem ki go'o go'o. Sus v'rochvo ramavayom. And Rashi comments, Hashem Yisbarach is Mizgoy al Hageyim. I mentioned earlier that the Brisk Lerov comments in this week's parsha, the double lashon that's found in the context of the Makom Arba. Imoyin ato l'shalech esami, and prior to that, ad mosay me'amto le'onos miponai. Why does the Torah use such double language? And the Brisk Lerov explains that the Kevel Advarim, namely both ad mosay me'amto le'onos miponai, and the classic Hasra of Shalach Ami v'Avduni, he explains it based on the famous Rambam. In Hilchos Taanios, a Rambam that's, again, unfortunately, quite relevant, Bismanenu Anu, in the course of the corona, Rambam writes that people who see phenomena that are occurring around them and they don't recognize the need to be mispal to Hashem Yisbarach. A number of people asked me today, the chief rabbi, based on consultation with Agoyin Abchaim Kanievsky Shlita, Sir Rav Lau Shlita, they were Kovei Tainis in Eretz Yisrael, and many people asked me why the necessity for a Tainis. Let people simply carry out the directives of Misrad HaBriyot. I'm asking that. Of course they should carry out the directives of Misrad HaBriyot. What's the suffix? But that does not preclude the importance and the value of a Tainis. And the Rambam writes, it's just a coincidence. The Rambam calls that a complete distortion of history. And that's the Trad Pasuk. And if we interpret events that occur around us in such a fashion, there's a big machlokes of Rishonim how to interpret the Dam Keri. But the Rambam interprets it, I see historical events and don't appreciate what is happening. Hashem says, okay, I'll bring more tzaras upon you. Osiv lachem chamas also keri. And that's the language of the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, ad mosai me'anto le'onos miponai. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you have any understanding of what's happening around you? And Paro is taken to task for the act of halicha b'keri, not recognizing, not seeing the Yad Hashem behind this travail. For that alone, he's deserving of punishment. How do you persist in your braggadocio? How do you not descend from your lofty perch? I like that term, braggadocio. I was once driving in the United States, and I came to a city in Arkansas. And the city was called Braggadocio, Arkansas. I couldn't believe it. I was astounded. The entire city consisted of one street. There was a gas station. There was what we would call here, a supermarket, a makolet, and one or two other things. And as a matter of fact, when I stopped at the gas station, I was going to a chasana in Memphis, Tennessee, not far, and passing through. And the gentleman looks at me and says, what is that beanie on your head? I don't know if I'll be Mekayim Kalayim Adavim B'Shem Emrei. Well, it'll be maybe Gula Lailam. But that's the language he used. What is that beanie on your head? So I explained to him, I'm a member of the Jewish faith. And he asked me, what is that? In my entire life, I never met someone who was not aware of what a Jew is. I could understand that you not be aware of Orthodox Judaism and the like. And so I proceeded to give him a more or less a kind of mini lecture on the topic. And then he told me, thank you very much. And then he asked me, are you a man of the cloth? That was the next question. I wasn't sure what I should say, yes or no. But I assume he was referring to a priest or a rabbi, Lahabdil. And I answered yes. And he told me that this is the first man of the cloth of the Jewish faith he ever met in his entire life. A young man in Braggadocio, Arkansas. That's why I use the term advisedly. So Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Gaiva, as the Pasuk says, Gaon leads to Sheber. So again, we don't understand the nature of Paro Melech Mitzrayim. But on the other hand, we do understand now, we have some sense of what happened in the context of these Makos. We see some patterns that the Torah describes, very significant patterns, and clearly very significant lessons that one should derive overall from the Makos. As I mentioned earlier, the Ramban saw three to'aliyos, three ultimate functions of the Makos based on Psukim. Bezos teida ki ani Hashem, the existence of Hashem is Barach. Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav ha'aretz, the sense of Hashkocha, of divine providence. And finally, Babur teida ki in kamoni b'chal ha'aretz. And if you look at the Malbim, who's absolutely one of the most fantastic Pirushim on Tanakh that you could ever find. The Malbim was, besides being an incredible goyim, he's not so well known for his halachic and other Nabalei chidushim in Shas, which he wrote as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes him quite often in the Arz HaSachayim, one of the halachic svarim of the Malbim. But we're primarily familiar with the Malbim, with his Perush on Tanakh, and we're primarily familiar with the Malbim as the one who stood up to the Maskilim in his day and age to defend the Kedushas HaTanakh, to defend the Torah of Hashem Yisbarach, and his commentary is scintillatingly brilliant. Kimat every single Malbim that I encounter, I am thunderstruck. So he points out over here that, again, he uses the Tzach Adash Ba'achav of Rabbi Yehuda in the Agadah Shel Pesach, the original Seder, the Tzach, is to explain the Metzias of Hashem Yisbarach, very similar to the Ramban, and that's where there's a Hasra, the first two Makos of each set, Hashem is the Mashkiach, what we see in Orov, the Man Teda, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Haaretz, and the two Makos of the third set, Bahasra, Hashem is a Baal Yecholet, and very similar to the position of the Ramban, but spells it out a bit further. But if you look in the Sifrei Musar, and this is what I spoke about last week, based on Psukim Mitzvanya, and based on the Gemon Yevamos, Ein Puranus Baal Ha'ilam Ela Bishul Yisrael. That's a difficult hashkafa for many of us to accept, but it's hashkafa satira as completely delineated by the Rizkov in his commenting on Chidush HaGriz al HaTeira, on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, what's going to be Lasid Lava with the Umas HaIlam. They're going to come and ask for their reward, and they're going to indicate everything they did was for Klal Yisrael. And Hashem should have responded to them, Shakronim Aten! You prevaricators, you egregious liars. He doesn't say that. He says, Shaitim! You're a bunch of blundering fools. That's not true, but he doesn't use the Lashon of Shakronim, but rather the Lashon of Shaitim. Says the Mishkalov, based on the Rambam, based on Psukim and Eov, based on the Gemara Yevamos, based on the Pasuk in Tzvanya, it's also Drash HaSaran, Ein Puranus Bad Olam El Bishul Yisrael. Everything revolves around Klal Yisrael. So last week when I said that shir, I had a number of reactions from a number of people who felt that this was a doctrine that was xenophobic in nature, and they were troubled why I wasn't troubled by that. Someone who's a mamin, who understands the role of Klal Yisrael in the world, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that the entire world should come to a recognition of Hashem Echad Shema Echad. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal always commented on the Malchios Tefillah Nishman Esrei, which is divided into two. First, Aleinu L'Shabech, and then Alkein Nekaveh. And essentially, the Rav said that these two segments define what Malchios is all about. And one emerges from that double definition, and if one examines Kimat any Tefillah of Malchios, you will see as what the Briskers would call Tzvei Dinim. This dialectic is embedded in Kimat every Tefillah of Malchios. Number one, the first segment of Aleinu, that we recognize the Malchus of Hashem, we call Yisrael. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hako, shelo asonu, v'lo somonu, shehein, they do their thing, v'anachti korim, u'mishtachavim, u'modiv, v'emela malchi amlochim ha'kodesh baruch hu. And we understand why. Because u'man keine b'shevach kli, as the Gemara says, Ribbono Shel Olam is the creator par excellence, noite shamayim v'yesed aretz, Moshav Yikaro Bashamay Mimal, Shin Asuzo Begovim Roman, Hu Elokeinu, Eino, Emes Malkeinu. It's clear. It's absolutely true. It's an eternal verity. But of course, what is the whole idea of Malchios? Al Kein Nikav Elokeinu. We want the entire world to recognize Hashem. Lahabir Gilulim in Aretz, Ve'alidim Kavasi Karesun, Lisakein Olam Malchut Shakai. What do we want? And here's the key word, said Rav Soloveitchik. Kol b'nei basar yikru b'shmecha. The entire universe to recognize Hashem. Lahafno seilecha kol rishay aretz. Yakir v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel. Ki lecha tichra kol berech. Tishrava kol lashon. And that's the function of Kol Yisrael. V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. V'yom ha'uyi Hashem echad ishmo echad. That's the role of Klal Yisrael. And in that sense, the Gemara says, Ein Peruan is Bada Eilam Yisrael Yisrael. Any phenomena that occurs in the world, we have to somehow absorb and realize that we are, in effect, very much a part of the message, if not the focus of that message. The Musa Svarim write, and I recently saw a sefer called Darkei Musa, and he writes in the context of the Makos, the following, and with this I'll be Messiah, he says, the Torah says in this week's parasha, and I discussed this also in a previous year, I mentioned that it seems as if all the makos came for one purpose, to address Egypt. You look at every single makah, the term Mitzrayim, and people in Mitzrayim, I mentioned dozens of times. The only time we have a reference to the fact that the makah has some connection to Klal Yisrael in this week's parasha. Bovel paro, ki ani ichbalati esliba v'slei b'avodov, ולמען תספר באוזני בנך ובן בנך איס אשר סבלתי במצרים ויש אוסו סי אשר שמתי בו בידעתם כי אני השם. Here we have the remez to the mitzvah of Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim. One of the mitzvahs say that's relevant on Pesach night. Telling over to our children and grandchildren, to our talmidim, to our families, to Klal Yisrael, what Hashem did in Egypt. So he writes in the Sefer Darkei Musa, ולמען תספר שבני יסוד יירו איס ההשכוחה When we see the Hashkoch of Hashem Yisbarach, what he did for Klal Yisrael in the context of the Makos, that will undoubtedly will be so nispoil, our emuna will be strengthened, and this is what we are transmitting to all those around us and to Dorei Doros. L'chein nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eser Makos, ki kol achad hispoil mimaka acheres. Each one, of course, is influenced by a different makah. Different strokes for different folks. Echad is Rashi min makas adam. One is nispoil from the makah of dam. And the second one, says the Darkei Musa, shemakas dam lo ishpi alav. Ishpi alav makah acheres, makas oro. B'chol eretz mitzvayim hoya oro. U'be'eretz goshen lo nichnusa afilu chaya achat. How did the chayos know that he was goshen? Generally, chayos are not, shall we say, they don't have a background in Mechitzis, in Hilchus Erevin, in Hilchus Sukkah, in Hilchus Shabbos. That's not exactly where they come from. Only a human being, in effect, understands what walls are all about. Good fences make good neighbors. Or Lahavdil, Sukkim in Chumash, V'igbalta Esam, Sodi Vlemar, Hishomu Lachem Alis Bahar, and Goa B'Kotzeyu. Says the Darkei Musa, Be'eze Beit Sefer Him Lomdu, Likro Et Ashalat, Shekosov Olav Goshen. Well, they knew Dafka to stop at Goshen and not to go further. B'chol mako u'mako ro hashkocha shel Hashem Yisbarach v'kiblu yir ha'shamayim. And then he quotes Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzata Ramchal in one of his very famous statements. And I heard this statement from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said about his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi. E'anit v'ashtanin. He couldn't understand how a person could commit a chet. How is it possible? So I wanted to comment, it's not so difficult. I was a very young man. And the Ramchal writes, Ilu yidias Hashem hoyser rechova bedatenu lo yinu chaitin. And that's what the Beis HaLevi said. Uvavur tia yirosu al peneichem devilti sechatov. Zu abusha, the Mechilta says, all chatoyim come, as the Gemara says in Seita, ein adam chaitel kein nichlis abay ruach shtus. If someone, and all of us, Baruch Hashem, are fortified with Amunah, and we've seen in this corona how the Yad Hashem is operating, can take the entire world down in one fell swoop. At the same time, we have the trufa. Just as Lahavdil, the trufa, Kodem Amaka, are these Zoom technology venues, which of course not everyone is in sync with for all kinds of reasons, Ben Latov, Ben Lamutov, but we're trying to use it to hopefully propagate and disseminate Torah Hashem, if we recognize the vaccine is also a nes nigle, in such a short period of time. And as I mentioned in one of my drushes, how Kadosh Baruch Hu operates, where din and rachamim somehow come together. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Ribbono Shel Olam to simply, in one move, bring about the gula. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu told him, as I mentioned from the Magid Meisharim, or the Beis Yosef, I don't operate that way. Hashem operates with din and rachamim in a way which is nistar to us. We don't understand it. So someone who's mamin Hashem is barach and sees the pageantry of the makos and their incredible beauty and majesty, the structure, lo'ilam lo'yechta, and that was the whole intent of the makos, to bring Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem is barach, to strengthen our emunah, and that's what we have to give over to our Talmidim, Be'ezah Hashem, Uleman Tesapri, Bozni Bincho, Ben Bincho, Ki Meitzeischo Meretz Mitzrayim, Arenum Niflois, the way Hashem Yisbarach showed us when we left Egypt, Niflois, Shein Kamo, Hashem Yisbarach should continue to show Klal Yisrael, Niflois, L'Netzach Netzochim, Amen V'Amen.
Thank you.